thank you again for being here today. We're glad that you are joining in with us during just this time of worship and this time to be in the Word. We're going to continue our conversation this morning from the book of Galatians. I don't know about you, but I have been blessed so much. I'm learning so much as I'm just meditating during my daily 20, just meditating on the book of Galatians. It's amazing. It's amazing when you can read scripture, a book, letters that were written so many years ago. And when you read them, how the Holy Spirit just makes it come alive to you, makes it relevant and makes it real. And one of the things I love about when we do a sermon series like that, like this, is it helps us to go deep into a book of the Bible and really cause it to become cemented in our hearts and our minds and our spirits. You know, we've been praying that as we have gone through this series, that you and I would, if you will, sort of gain the keys that are found in the book of Galatians to unlock the door of freedom in our life, because the book of Galatians is all about that. It's all about the freedom that we have in Christ. It's all about experiencing it and continuing to walk in it. We've discovered some things about freedom and some things about how to unlock the door to freedom in our life. We've discovered that freedom begins, or it's initiated, because of the gospel, because of the work of the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ. God initiated the rescue for our souls by sending Christ to die for our sins. Paul wanted to make it very, very clear that the church at Galatia never become confused of what the message of the gospel was. It was easy then, just like it's easy now, to add on to the gospel. And in fact, that was the problem that was happening in the church at Galatia and in much of the world that Paul was ministering in, that there were people who were attempting to add on to the gospel. Yeah, we know about Jesus, we know about what he did, but to really be a Christian, you have to also do this and this and this. And in the world that we live in today, it's exactly like that. I mean, all you have to do is spend a few minutes on social media, and people will tell you very quickly, well, you can't really be a Christian unless you think like this, unless you act like this, unless you vote like this, unless you do these things. When in reality, the foundations of the gospel are very, very simple. It is because completely and totally of the work of Jesus Christ. Our lives shift simply by our faith in Christ. Nothing else added to it because of the work that Jesus has done for us. Last week, we looked as Paul continued in this conversation about freedom, and we began to understand that as this shift takes place, as we experience freedom because of the work of Christ, we're not in it alone. In fact, the Bible says that he promised that the Holy Spirit would come to dwell inside of us, that he would cause our spirit to come alive, and that the Holy Spirit would enable us and empower us to live in this freedom. The Holy Spirit is at work consistently transforming us to be like Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit's help in transforming me, because I cannot do it on my own. If it were up to Randy to be righteous, if it were up to Randy to be holy, it would never happen. I could maybe create some systems of self-discipline in my life, but ultimately I would fall down. Ultimately I would give up. Ultimately I would quit, because I could never really live up to righteousness. In your life, have you ever experienced something that was so good, so awesome, so incredible that once you experienced it, you thought to yourself, I cannot go back to life without this? You ever had anything happen like that to you in your life? I never in my life did I live near the ocean before moving to Durban. Always lived inland, and I lived a long ways from the ocean, and only really had visited the ocean a few times. But once, I've said this many times to Desiree, once we moved to Durban and once we've lived by the ocean, and once that's available, and Desiree and I make it a part of our normal lives, it was especially a part of our lives before lockdown started, that we literally would go down to the promenade and walk every day. We would get time every day by the ocean, just breathing in the ocean air, oftentimes take off our shoes, get down in the sand just to get grounded in the sand. And since having that as a part of my life, I've said it, I don't know if I can go back to living anywhere else outside of the ocean. I just enjoy it so much. It just brings me so much peace and so much joy. Well, when Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, he was trying to help them to understand that because of the work of Christ, they had received something in their life. And why in the world, they'd received this amazing gift, why in the world would they ever consider going back to living their lives in a way that was before the gift that they had received? Paul was proclaiming that the people in the church at Galatia had experienced true freedom because of the work of Christ. And so they should therefore never consider living a life outside of that freedom again. In this series, we've sort of used as our foundational verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I want to read the whole thing to you again this morning, and we're going to read it completely. It says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." I could go on for hours just about that one sentence. Christ set us free for freedom's sake. It's confusing to me how it is that we create religious and ethical systems that would seek to bind us, that would seek to enslave us once again. It's confusing to me how we distort the gospel and relationship with God through Jesus Christ and turn it into another heavy yoke of slavery, when in fact the gospel is clear, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Then get this, Paul says, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." If Christ has set you free for freedom, why in the world, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, would you adopt an ethical system, a religious system, a spiritual system that was going to burden you down in such a way that you once again felt the yoke of performance-oriented slavery, that you felt the yoke of a burden that you could never bear yourself, a standard that you could never live up to on your own? You see, the principle is this: staying free is my choice. Staying free is your choice. Now listen, Paul has spent the majority of this letter making it clear to the Galatians where freedom comes from. He spent a lot of energy and a lot of time explaining to them that there's nothing they can do to earn freedom. There's nothing they can do to make freedom happen. There's nothing they can do to perform well enough to gain freedom in their life. However, once he has established this idea that freedom is completely and totally dependent upon the work of Jesus Christ, he transitions to this thought and this idea. Once you have freedom, once you understand that freedom comes through Christ, then you have to embrace the idea that if I'm going to stay free, I must make a choice. Once we experience freedom in our life, No one wants to walk away from it. Whatever it was that you were thinking of earlier when I told you, think about something great, something awesome that you've experienced that you never want to lose. Well, freedom is like that. You never want to lose it. Once you truly know what it means to live without guilt, to live without shame, to live without condemnation, to live without insecurity and fear of an angry God in heaven who's judging you based on your performance, once you get the freedom of that, why in the world would you go back? See, we have a choice. We have a choice in whether or not we're going to stay free. We have a choice in whether or not we're going to continue to live free, or if we're going to return again to our bondage. Remember last week we discussed Paul's charge to the church at Galatia to walk in the Spirit and to avoid the flesh. As much as salvation is totally dependent on Christ, the actualization, the living out of that freedom comes dependent upon. It comes as you and I continue in our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. It's realized in our life as you and I walk step in step in step with the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you Mark chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. It says this, "Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope." Paul makes these comments that are so incredibly loaded. We've been talking for some time about the Judaizers and about this conflict that is going on within the church at Galatia between this diverse group of people who are coming to Christianity out of all of these belief systems. And now you have this set of Christians who come out of Judaism and they're trying to impose the laws. They're trying to impose the laws of Judaism on people who are non-Jews who become Christians. And in particular, they're saying to them, if you really are going to be in the family of God, you must be circumcised. Paul is trying to specifically deal with this issue, and as he does, he's making this incredibly deep point and really wants the body of Christ to understand that there's nothing we can do in the law to justify ourselves. And that when we go down that road of seeking to justify ourselves according to the law, look at the word he uses. You alienate yourself from Christ. And the reason you alienate yourself from Christ is because you fall away from grace. When you lack the understanding that your connection to God is through Jesus Christ by a work of grace, you begin to alienate yourself from God. We can choose hope established in Christ, or we can choose slavery established in self. We can choose hope established in Christ, or we can choose slavery established in self. Now remember, once again, Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to people who are followers of Christ who have become confused. How many of you know that sometimes Christians can be confused? Yeah. Sometimes Christians can say, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do in this circumstance. And there's this other group of people who are really loud and they claim to be Christians and they're telling me what to do. But it sure seems like what they're telling me to do is taking me out of a place of intimacy and connection to God. Hello? It really seems like this really loud, obnoxious, forceful group of people who also claim to be Christians, and they know a lot of stuff. You know, they can quote the Old Testament. They can tell me all about the rules and the things I'm supposed to do. It sure feels like, it sure seems like that when I do what it is that they want me to do, that they tell me to do, that somehow or another, I'm no longer really trusting in God. I'm no longer really connected to God. My hope begins to fade away. Hope is one of the most powerful mindsets that we can have as human beings. As followers of Christ, our hope is founded on our faith in Christ and His great love for us. Christ plus nothing. And as followers of Christ, when we realize our dependency on Him, it bursts within us hope because it doesn't depend on us. We hope for an eternity with Him. We hope for a day with no more pain and no more sorrow. We hope for a day with no more tears. We hope for a day when things that seem impossible become possible. We hope for a life that is greater than us. We hope for a capacity and a strength and a joy that isn't dependent upon our circumstances. We have hope because of Christ. It isn't built on me. It isn't built on anything that I can do. For the Galatians, Paul wanted them to understand, if they go back to placing their hope on attempts to be free through any type of religious works or religious understanding or things that they can perform or do, all it will create is bondage in their life. All it will create is slavery in their life. They're going to go back to the same outcome that they had before, where they were enslaved and they were without hope. Is it possible that the reason many of us have had the experience of freedom, we've embraced Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we don't continue to live free, is because we go back to the slavery of self-righteousness. We go back because of the influence of others who are supposed to know more than us. We go back to the place of trying to do it on our own, trying to feel joy on our own, trying to feel complete on our own, trying to have hope on our own through something we do or something we accomplish. You see, my friend, we must embrace that our faith in Christ brings freedom. Faith in Christ produces hope. Alternatively, faith in our own ability to perform or live up to certain standards will rob us of hope because we are incapable of righteousness on our own. In Christ, we have been set free, and God desires for us to stay in that freedom. But to stay in that freedom, we have to have a mindset shift. We must come to a place where we understand, I know who I am, not because of what I do. I know who I am because of what Christ has done for me. You see, staying free, and this is what Paul needed the Galatians to understand. Staying free involves evaluating the influences in my life. When Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, he pointed out the Judaizers, and he kept talking about them because they had become a significant problem in the body of Christ. These people taught the non-Jews that they must follow the law to truly be accepted by God. Let me ask you a question this morning. What influences exist in your life? What influences exist in what you believe about God and how you relate to God? Who have you allowed to write the story on your heart that causes you to believe certain things about God and causes you to believe certain things that God may believe about you? Influence is the ability to affect change, or it's the ability to cause people to believe certain things or behave in certain ways. someone is influencing us, and we are also influencing others at all times. Influence is continually happening. And so my question for you this morning is, who are the influences in your life? We must continually evaluate the people and the voices that are influencing us. How do we do that? Pastor Andy, how do I evaluate the influences in my life? How do I evaluate the influences of what I believe about God or how I believe about God? Well, let's look at what Paul said about the Judaizers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Let me read it to you. It says this: those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about circumcision in the flesh. Once again, this is a loaded statement. And there are so many sort of social politics that are going on in what Paul says here. I really want us to gain an understanding of it. See, this group that held so much influence in the church in Galatia, the group that we keep calling the Judaizers, they were motivated by something that mankind has been motivated by for generations. They wanted the admiration and the approval of certain people. They didn't want to be persecuted for believing the gospel. We live in a world where the simplicity of the gospel will bring you persecution. In 2020, it's too simple. It's not enough. It's not enlightened enough. The church has done too much damage throughout human history. So we have to adjust the gospel. We have to change the gospel. We have to add to the gospel. We have to make adjustments to the language of the gospel. Whatever we can do to not be socially ostracized. In the same way that the Judaizers felt social pressure to not be persecuted because of the simplicity of the gospel, because the gospel confronted society and morality and culture that they wanted to be a part of, because of the compromise in their heart and their own need for approval, their own need to not offend people, their own need to not make people angry, their own need to be liked and admired. They were saying to the Gentile believers, well, if you truly want to be a Christian, you have to be circumcised also. We have to add to the gospel. We have to make it match the ethical religious system of the Jews so that it's considered enlightened, so that it's considered enough, so that it fits. And because of what was inside of them, because their own need and their own desire to not be persecuted, their own desire to be approved and admired, their own desire to be loved and held in esteem, they said, well, you're going to have to do this. See, the problem was that the Galatians were experiencing a crisis of faith based on the influence of frauds. As a pastor in 2020, as I watch the world around me, I have come to the very distinct conclusion that the body of Christ is allowing itself to be turned into turmoil, is allowing itself to be turned upside down, is experiencing a crisis of faith because we are allowing voices who do not even have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who are not fully engaged in the kingdom of God themselves, people who sound like they know what they're talking about, people who can quote the Old Testament, people who can pretend to be religious but are not sold out to Jesus himself, people who do not want to die on the cross themselves, people who do not want to embrace the lostness of the rejection of their peers and the rejection of society, we are allowing them to cause us to question the very core of the gospel. We've allowed our churches to be thrown into chaos by people who don't even walk with Jesus. You see, you can always spot a fraud because they seek to influence and control others by standards they do not keep. They create forms of righteousness and rules that they themselves do not live up to, and they project them onto everybody else. Paul was saying the Judaizers aren't even living up to the law themselves, and yet they want you to live according to the law, and they're telling you you're not a Christian unless you're living according to the law. Church, why in the world are we allowing frauds to shake and shape our faith? Why are we allowing people who are not submitted to Christ themselves to tell us what to believe and how to believe it? Why do we allow their insults and their projections onto us and their comments about who we are and what we are to shape what we believe and how we live our lives? See, we have to ask ourselves, whose approval is the person trying to gain? Are they holding me to standards they are not keeping themselves? For all of the enlightened voices that exist in the world, for all the enlightened voices that exist within the church who project rules and rituals and routines upon us and yet are not living according to the basic tenets of the gospel, who are not submitted to walk by the Spirit every day, how are we allowing them to cause us to have a crisis in our faith? Well, Pastor Andy, how do I know if they're walking in the Spirit? It's simple. Paul has taught us they will bear the fruit of the Spirit. How do we allow people who are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit to inform our walk with Jesus? How do we allow frauds to fill pulpits? How do we allow frauds to project onto us who we're supposed to be and causing us to be in crisis? The very basic principles of the transformational power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of Christ establishes for us a basic understanding of those voices, those influences that we should allow. See, this is where our identity in Christ is vital. When we understand that we have the approval and the admiration of God, not only can we be free, but we can lead others to be free. Not only can we be free, but when voices come and influences come and people try to heap upon us rules and rituals and laws that move us away from intimacy with God, we can recognize it as a fraud, because if it was of the Spirit of God, it would never move us away from the presence of God. Wow, that's good preaching. I hope the people online are saying amen louder than you guys are. Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Paul says this: may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Paul understood this. He says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. That's what happens. That's what the gospel causes to happen. I become a new creation. I walk in the Spirit. Therefore, I bear the fruit of the Spirit. I become a new creation from the inside out. It's not about following rules and rituals. It's not about a religious or ethical system that makes sense to the world or makes the world happy or causes the world to feel good about itself or causes the world to feel inclusive. It's about transformation because of what Jesus has done in me. Friend, you and I must come to a place where we mature to the point that instead of becoming like the Judaizers, where we allow our rules and our rituals and our understanding to be projected on other people, instead we are living in freedom. We're not allowing influences that are not in relationship with God or led by the Spirit to cause us to have crises of faith. And then the next step of that is that we as people who are led by the Spirit are using our influence to lead others to freedom found in Christ. That's what we should be about. That's what our business is. That we are leading people to freedom found in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. That word cut that Paul uses there is a nice play on words. He was referring specifically to circumcision. It was a very graphic term. Paul was making an ugly point, or he was using an ugly expression to make a very challenging point. We cannot allow influences to move us away from the relationship that God has for us. Any persuasion that moves you away from the place of grace, any persuasion that moves you away from relationship with God, any persuasion that creates a crisis of faith, that causes you and I to believe that somehow or another God is going to be mad at us or God is rejecting us. Paul says that voice is not from God. I want to ask you, stand with me all across this place this morning. This particular message has been hard for me to preach, not because it's hard, but it's just because there's loads of notes here and loads of things that I want to say. I've watched through the years, and even in my own life, people experience these crises of faith. Because of voices, influences, who claim to speak for God, but who do not know Him. Maybe because of the position that they have, maybe because they can quote the Old Testament, maybe because they wear a shiny suit and they speak with a lot of power, or maybe because they type really well on social media. Maybe because they seem like they know what they're talking about. I don't really know. But I told you during this season of this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I believe God was calling North Place forward into a place of maturity and growth. And I believe a part of the maturity and growth that God is calling us into is coming to a place where our relationship with God is established through Jesus Christ, not through the voices of influence of others, especially those who, if we are just honest with ourselves, it's very clear that their motivation, that what they're doing, is for the approval of others, for their own gain. Not an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, how do I know that, Pastor? Well, I know that because it's clear they're not walking in the Spirit. How do I know that they're not walking in the Spirit? It's clear they're not walking in the Spirit because they're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The Word of God is twisted and violated and taken out of context and reinterpreted to create all of these things that do not add up to faith in Christ alone. I believe God's calling us to a place of maturity where we're not so insecure and we're not so weak in our walk with God that we're shaken and thrown into crisis, that we don't give up our freedom so that we can have the approval of others, that we don't give up our freedom to go back into slavery of trying to perform, but instead, I keep in step with the Spirit. And I allow him to transform me from the inside out. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for those of you who are watching online. Father, I thank you so much for what you're saying to us. I thank you so much for what you're doing in us. During this season, Holy Spirit, I'm grateful for the things that you're bringing to surface in my own life, the things that you're bringing to surface in the lives of those of us who are here this morning. Lord, we live in a world of social influencers. We live in a world of influencers who manipulate and control. And the truth is, Lord, through one scroll of social media, we can be thrown into an emotional, spiritual crisis. And the truth is, it doesn't make sense because these are not people who know you. These are not people who have relationship with you. God, I pray that you would cause us to come to a place of maturity where we are so seated in Christ that we don't believe the lies of the enemy, that we don't retreat to the old patterns, we don't retreat to the old forms of slavery, but instead we continue to walk in freedom in Christ. We can approach your throne, Father God, at all times because of the work of Jesus, plain and simple. The barrier, the dividing wall has been torn down because of Jesus. Jesus and nothing else. No shame, no guilt, no condemnation. I am your son. She is your daughter. May we stay in that place, Lord. And Lord, as we shut off our life to the influences of those who will create crisis within us, may we also mature and grow to the place that we are mindful of how we influence. And as we influence others, that we are influencing them towards Christ alone. In Jesus' name.